The BBC presents My Word. And here to introduce the program and the panel is Jack Longland.
My Word is a word game played by people whose business is words, and those taking part are Nancy Spain, Dillis Powell, Dennis Norden, and Frank Muir. And straight into round one to test their vocabulary. Two marks, if you can give me the meaning of these words. Beginning with Nancy Spain. Nancy, what is galantine?
It's dreadful, Jack. It's a sort of mixture, pounded down, of various complicated meat substances.
What kind of meat, though, Nancy? Get it a bit straighter.
Dead, I imagine.
What kind of meat?
Yes, please. Well, for instance, white or red, white or brown?
Oh, it's sort of pale pink. Pale pink rubber eyes.
Well, Nancy, considering your close relationship with Mrs. Beaton, I'm only going to give you 1.5 marks. Because it's always white meat, bone, spiced, rolled or tied, boiled and served cold. Usually chicken or veal. And now, Frank Muir, what is a lamasserie?
Oh, yes, well, it's quite easy, isn't it? Given time. Lamasserie. Is it French?
No. Oh, yes, it was. I'm so sorry. You're quite right. It was originally a French word, but it's not about anything French.
Feminine. Lamasserie.
Tibet.
Lamasserie. Tibet.
Tibet.
Yes, that's
one. With a lama, French for the woman.
Almost anything else but.
Is it either the furry animal or the priest?
It's not the furry animal.
Then it's the priest. And a lamasserie is where he eats his food.
It's a monastery of lamas in Tibet and similar countries, too. Dennis Powell, what is miscibility? MISCIBILITY. Miscibility.
Sounds like a character.
Capable of being mixed up, like me.
That's it. It's mixableness, having the ability or the disadvantage of being mixed up. Dennis Norden. Dennis, what is a cucking stool? C-U-C-K-I-N-G. A cucking stool.
Ah, yes, it's a shame that we don't do this anymore.
folklore.
Yes, it's a bit folklore. When a medieval lady had behaved in such a way that she wasn't a lady, they used to sort of dunk her in a pond, putting her on this chair first so that, you know, she should be seated, because they retained the element of courtesy while having this kind of physical vigour in those days. And so you were in the pond, which is... In modern days, we say up the creek, but it's, in those days, it was in the pond. It's a stall for putting ladies in ponds.
Isn't it actually the origin of muddy evil?
I don't comment on Fegner's deplorable invention, but Dennis Norden is quite right. It's a chair on a long sort of pole that you put disorderly women and sometimes dishonest tradesmen into, and then duck them in the horse pond or the village pond. Well, before we start round two, I give each team a quotation, which they can write down if they want, and I want the two women members of the team to study their quotations, and at the end I shall ask them where those quotations come from. So, Nancy Spain with Dennis Norden, here's your quotation. Revenge is a kind of wild justice. And Dillis Powell and Frank Muir, yours is I'm getting married in the morning. And then at the end of the programme, I shall ask Dennis and Frank to give me their idea of how these words came to be said or written. And I don't want any of these answers yet. Well, here's round two, a nice, easy round. These are nurseryland questions. Two marks if you get them right. Nancy Spain, who had 3 bags of wool and for whom were they intended?
Baba, black sheep,
yes?
Have you any wool? No, sir, 3 bags full. 1 for the master, one for the dame and one for the little boy who cries down the lane. So,
why should he deny them and then enumerate them?
I often
yes,
wonder.
Sir. Yes, sir.
I think it's sort of oriental. Yes, yes sir, yes, sir. But that would be, have you any astrakhan?
You're quite right, Nancy. Two marks for that. The alternative and rather more severe and disciplinary version is none for the little boy who cries down the lane, but that left one bag over, I suppose. One for the master, one for the dame, and one for the little boy who lives down the lane, in the lane, or down the lane, is the usual one. Crackmere, what three sailors sailed off in a wooden shoe?
It's from a nursery rhyme, Jack.
Yes.
Goes... Maresy dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy tivy, a kiddly tivy too, wooden shoe.
I don't think this is a mixed ship. I don't think they'd have been allowed.
Is it? I can see sailing through stars.
That's it, quite right.
Is there anything to do with Wee Willie Winkie?
Yes, you're getting near it. Start with winking.
Oh. Winkin', blinkin', and nod.
Well done. With some assistance, you've crept home. Quite right. Winkin', blinkin', and nod. One night sailed off in a wooden shoe, sailed on a river of crystal light into a sea of dew. And unlike most of these nursery rhymes, we know who wrote it. It's a chap called Eugene Field. Two marks. Dear Miss Powell, what materials were used by each of the three little pigs to build their houses?
You know, Jack, this programme always makes me feel I had a very deprived childhood.
Yes, but surely you saw the picture.
Depraved or deprived?
I'm depraved on account I'm deprived.
They huffed and they puffed and they blew the...
That's it.
Blew the blowing. The blowing is the clue.
The last one was bricks.
Yes?
Bricks.
Come on.
I can see the little tails.
You had a happy childhood. Come on.
No, I went to the pictures. Obviously don't go.
Bricks. But straw.
Yes. Straw. I got straw and bricks. I just want something else.
Wood.
Yes, that'll do. Three pigs built respectively in straw, and it was very easy to huff and puff and blow down. Then from sticks and twigs, which is the wood, and finally from bricks, and that couldn't be huffed or puffed down. Two marks. Dennis Norton, what are the lines come after the following ones? Fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman.
I never knew. I had my head under the covers by that time. And was twitching. Well, what is it?
Grind his bones to make my bread.
Yes, that's the last line. I think 1.5. It goes like this. Fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be he alive or be he dead, grind his bones to make my bread. And it's in Jack and the Beanstalk. Next round is all about origins and derivations, and because the actual expressions are fairly easy, I'm going to give 3 marks for the best answer to the origin of the expression. I don't necessarily want its current meaning. Yours is the first, Nancy Spann. The expression is to rat.
Well, it means to scarper, or get out of the ship quickly while it's sinking.
And the origin?
It derives from the fact that when it was well known to the rats that a ship was going to sink, they slunk off down the hawsers, or cables, which were mooring the ship to the quay side. And they could be actually seen before the ship sailed, strange though it may seem to you.
Absolutely right. Either the ship was sinking and they ran away very quickly indeed, or they could, or were supposed, to leave a ship when it was in port because they sensed that its next trip was going to be the last one. 3 marks. Thank you. Dago.
Dago, Dago. Midnight comes and I want to go home. Dago, yes. Yes, it's an expression, Jack, which is used by chaps who aren't Latin American or Italian or Spanish for chaps who are Latin American, Italian or Spanish.
And it came from what?
It came from a feeling of anger. feeling of keeping them out. It's a dago. Well, it's an anagram of goad. See, and they're trying to goad them by using this sort of expression. It's a dago. It's actually because of their tanned complexion, the South Americans. They call them Dago, which is short for Daguerre type, which is a very early printing on silver when the features came out dark.
1.5 marks for inventiveness and sheer effrontery and complete lack of accuracy. It began, this expression, in Louisiana, because a man of Spanish parentage was popularly called Diego, which is the Spanish for a very common name, James, much as Irishmen are sometimes called Micks, and Welshmen are sometimes called Taffies, and Scotsmen are sometimes called Jocks. Same thing. All right. Did this pal. Catherine Wheel.
Well, it's kind of firework.
Nowadays, yes.
Nowadays. But it has some relation to St. Catherine.
Yes.
Being broken on a wheel.
Not broken.
Revolved.
Revolved.
Yes, it revolved, yes.
Revolved. Mm.
As indeed a Catherine wheel does for about 2 seconds, and it jams against the pin.
I think 2 out of 3. It got its name from St. Catherine, a virgin of royal descent who came from Alexandria, and she confessed the Christian faith at a sacrifice which was being held by the emperor, and of course wasn't meant to lead to being Christian at all. She was put to death by torture, which was being gradually cut into small pieces by means of a sharpened wheel, rather like a chaff cutter. And the firework was named after her because the red sparks represent her blood as the wheel killed her. Dennis Norton, hussy or huzzy?
Well, it's one of those birds who used to get put in the pond. hussy. Does it come from Hazif?
Yes.
That's a strange thing. When I went in the RAF, that you had to sign for all your equipment. There was a thing down there called housewife. It was spelt housewife, and it was a little sort of brown bundle tied up with a white tape. And then when we had the first kit inspection, the sergeant said, you've got to put your Azif on the bed. And I didn't realise I had one. But it obviously comes from Hazif. It's a Hazif without an if. from Hazif.
You're quite right. It comes from housewife, and the odd thing is that it now means a worthless woman or a pert, ill-mannered young woman, and originally it meant a housewife who was presumably very respectable and honest and jolly.
Well,
nice.
There you are. Times do change.
Well, these are French or Latin expressions which are in common use or fairly common use in English. 2 marks if you get them right, their meaning. Beginning with Nancy Spain, in vino veritas.
What do I have to do? Translate
it? Say what it means.
See how many words you can get out of those letters.
In wine, you speak the truth.
Yes?
Well, meaning when you're drunk, you tell everything.
Not you, Jack, particularly.
No, not you, no.
One.
Yes, one. Yes.
Thank you, Dennis. Drink tends to loosen your tongue so that you may betray secrets or show your true character. And 2 marks for that. Frank Muir. Sans culotte.
Sans culotte.
Or whichever you like.
Sans culotte. Means without trousers.
Dance. Came from what?
A chap who sits at the foot of the guillotine and applauds when the heads drop. Rabble.
Yes.
One of a rabble.
One of the rabble.
The individual constituent of a rabble.
That's right. Contemptuous name given during the French Revolution to ragged, trousered, poverty-stricken people who, as Frank rightly said, were rather pleased when they saw aristocrats being guillotined. 2 marks. De l'espoir, rather similar. Soi-disant.
So-called. So-calling oneself, it means.
Yes, it isn't so-called.
Pretending to be, claiming to be.
Claiming to be, yes.
Calling oneself to be.
Yes. I think that's good enough. It's self-styled, that's really what it means, or self-called, and it usually means pretending, the soi-disant vicomte or vicomte. It means he probably wasn't, or you didn't, in fact, regard his title as being either true or important. Dennis Norton.
Pis-aller.
Well, it means a second-best course, not the course you would have chosen, but the course you've been obliged to choose from... The French aller, meaning to go. P, meaning worse.
Absolutely right. 2 marks you get. Something accepted for want of a better. Of course, you take because there's no better line of action at that moment you can take.
Sort of fate demure.
Oh,
Yes, that too. Well, now we come to the last round and go back to those quotations which I gave the two teams earlier in the programme. For 2 marks, Nancy Spain, can you give me the origin of your quotation, "Revenge is a kind of wild justice"? And I'll give you the clue that it comes from somebody's essays.
Well, it's from an essay, I was going to say.
Mm, good.
By Bacon.
Yes. Absolutely right. Essay of Revenge, Essays 4, by Francis Bacon. 2 marks it is. I gave you a little help because I think, Dillis, your quotation is really rather easy. "I'm getting married in the morning."
It's one of the songs in My Fair Lady.
Sung by?
What's his, her pa, Mr. Doolittle.
Yes. And My Fair Lady by? Make it harder.
Lerner and Lowy.
Yes, that's quite right. And a bit of help from Bernard Shaw. Two marks. And now I shall ask Dennis and Frank to give me their explanations of how these quotations really came into being. And on this occasion, the marks will go to whichever incredible explanation receives the larger and longer amount of applause from the audience here in the studio. So back to Dennis Norden with his quotation, "Revenge is a kind of wild justice."
I don't know whether you're like me. I get very perturbed about certain kinds of food. I don't mean physically, I mean mentally. They worry me. I ponder about them. Baked jam roll. Does it worry you? Why? The jam is always so very, very, very much hotter than the surrounding dough. You bite through the dough, that's fine, and then suddenly, like a trumpet blast, your mouth blares with molten lava, which stays hot. No matter how much you fan your mouth with your tie, or it stays hot all the way down. But the one food which has fretted me the most is blancmange. Now, for the benefit of our overseas listeners who may not have been exposed to this favourite English dessert, I should explain that blancmange is a kind of opaque jelly, generally in a pastel shade. It's made from gelatine mixed with milk, with all flavour banished. When you put a spoonful out onto the plate, it glups. It has a wobble, but the wobble is completely sexless. Whereas with jelly, particularly lime jelly, that is positively sensual, but blancmange, never. And it has worried me as to why anybody ever took the trouble to invent blancmange. I can't believe that anybody set out to invent it. No man in the whole of recorded history could have been that dispirited. And so I made inquiries about it, and I found something very rich and strange. The word blancmange is Hungarian. In Hungary, the word blancmange means love. Now, isn't that fascinating? In Hungary, they would sing, "I'm in the mood for blancmange." Or they would sing, "Blancmange me and leave me and let me be alone." Why? Why should the word blancmange be Hungarian for love? I probed further. And I came to what they call nowadays the crunch. You see, it was invented in Hungary, but it wasn't invented as a food. It was invented for Hungarian violinists to soak their bows in overnight. Now, you know, Hungarian violinists are very special. They play this passionate, wild chardas, and only a Hungarian violinist can achieve this marvelous, melting, sobbing tone, and only because they soak their bows in blancmange, you see? And you can see the etymology now. You see, it's blancmange to violin bows to chardas to passion, passion to love. Therefore, blancmange becomes equated with love. It's a marvellously fulfilling thought to think that what is love in Budapest is blancmange in Huddersfield. And I must say, I have taken much comfort from this thought. And whenever I'm at a seaside boarding house and this pale, pastel-coloured mess is glooped onto my plate, I look at it and I think to myself, despite appearances, blancmange is a kind of wild chardas.
I'm awfully glad Dennis has got that out of his system. It's going to help a lot. And so back to Frank Muir, and his quotation was, "I'm getting married in the morning."
One day, on my way to the theatre, something funny occurred to me. I got off the bus, thinking about it, walked through the streets, found myself in a narrow paved cul-de-sac with garages either side, and for a while I just stood there and mused. The thought which had occurred to me was that though there are many splendid books written about the origins of phrases, origins of lines of poetry, there were no books written about the origins of songs, of popular songs. This I would do. I resolved, there and then, to make this my work, my task, my labour. And I set about it. I worked at this, what, 3 years, 4 years. And then one day, it was a Tuesday, I remember, I went to a Chinese restaurant, and I had a Welsh rarebit. And I found I was sitting next to a Chinaman who was eating curry, an Indian curry. And I decided to make conversation with him, and I said, "No likey Chinese noshi," amiably. And he said, "No, not very much." He was an Englishman, actually. He'd sneezed into that little pot of curry powder they give you to dip your poppadom in. I made a mental note, actually, to check whether that wasn't the origin of a song. I said, "My poppadom told me when I was in Delhi." One has to chase all these things, you know. So I told him of my life's work, and I'd been working at this origin of popular songs for some 4 years, and I'd achieved success at last and had got one. So he said, "Well, what is it?" So I said, "Well, it's the origin of I'm Getting Married in the Morning, you know, the song from My Fair Lady." He said, "I know it well." I said, "Oh, yes," and he said, "Yes." And he said, "What's the origin?" I said, "Well, it's, you know, the willow pattern plate. Well, you know that chap who's kneeling by the little wooden bridge over the stream? Well, that's what he's singing." So he said, "No, he isn't." I said, "But it is, it's well known. I've checked it up. And if any listeners are eating their dinner now, and if either of them has got a willow pattern plate and is eating his dinner from, he can check the story. Now look, right. Now, there it is in front of you. Now shift the roast potato slightly to one side, and you'll see the chap kneeling, the bottom right-hand corner, by the wooden bridge, right? He's got a fish in his hand, right? And then, just up where the horseradish sauce is, just by the peas, if you scrape the gravy aside, you find a tall pagoda. Now, you see, in that pagoda, you can just see those two faces. Now, that is a mandarin, and his daughter, the Gelderin, you see? And the Gelderins always walks in that little wood. You see, she picks the riceberries, which they grow in China, or picks one of the ricet apples. And she is in love with this chap on the other side, kneeling by the bridge, who's a peasant. You see, he's just a coolie, but he's a bit of a poet, and he loves her. Now, he's a very poetic chap, you see, and he can't afford a gold wedding ring, because he's only a coolie. Now, you notice just above the top of the plate there, it should be bare. Two doves. You see, now he's taken the little lead ring from the leg of one of those doves. He's fished in the stream for a goldfish. And what he's doing, while they're looking out the window, is he's rubbing the base metal against the goldfish to make it gold to put in his beloved's finger. And as he's doing it, he's singing very gently, "I'm getting married in the morning." He said, "No, no, no, it's all wrong." He said it's rigged, China, now. It's all chains. They're communists. So I said, what do you mean? He said, they don't have mandarins now. He said, that tall pagoda is now a deep freeze for fish, where they make fish fingers for the whole of southern China. That little chap at the foot of the bridge is a coolie working. Of course, they've cleared out all the goldfish, because that's gold, it's a capitalist emblem, and they've filled it with red mullet, you see. And this coolie has got to fish 2,000 red mullet out of the stream, de-gut them, and have them ready for the deep freeze per hour. And that's what he's doing, you see. What he's got to do, he's got to jam the red mullet in a line in between the boards of the bridge, and that way he can slit six at a time. So I said, then what's he singing, then? He can't be singing I'm Getting Married in the Morning. No, he said. He's singing the communist-approved workers' work song. I said, what's that? He's singing, I'm gutting mullet in the boarding.
Well, your vote, Frank Muir, just wins with that new version of the Willow Pattern plate. And that brings us to a final score in which Frank Muir and Lillis Powell win by a mark and a half from Nancy Spain and Dennis Norden. And it also brings to an end this edition of My Word.
In My Word, you heard Lillis Powell, Nancy Spain, Frank Muir, and Dennis Norden, introduced by Jack Longland. The program was devised by Tony Shryan and Edward J. Mason and presented by the BBC. ¶¶